I gotta say right off the rip, this is gonna be like a weird thing that I noticed, but Ryan, I'm amazed you're still in pants, bro. You gotta get comfortable before you get in the podcast. I saw you with your belt. I was like, dude, he's still in his work mode.
Yeah, I just got home from work.
And like here you are. Here you are for us, doing it all for us. We're on
work.
And we're on episode 85.5. We have our work pants on. We're ready to put in those hours. So when we pre-record conferenced, it made clear that Shane wrote a master's thesis this week for the Colts. So Ryan, yeah, why don't you start with us? Yeah. Let's go
with the Giants.
All right.
Giants right now, I'm pretty sure Vegas has them at, I think, 8-9. There's a lot of good things to talk about this year about them in terms of the new coaches they have and some of the new players. The only problem is their roster is so fragile, and if they don't stay healthy, it's not going to be good for the Giants this year.
True.
But so we got Brian Daboll back as head coach, his second year. He knows how to win. He's got 5 Super Bowls with the Patriots.
That's right. He's a Belichick guy, isn't he?
Yeah.
Fuck.
Yeah. So that's why I think his head coaching, that's why I think a lot of it, they did so well last year and made it to the playoffs. But, I mean, DVOA can kind of contradict that.
Sure.
They went up against Minnesota, who had a worse DVOA in the playoffs, and that's pretty much why they won that game.
Yeah.
But, okay, so now we've got Mike Kafka, his first season as offensive coordinator. Another reason I really like this is because guess who he was the last 5 seasons?
He was the head coach at Northwestern.
No, he was the assistant coach to Andy Reid in Kansas City.
He played quarterback for Northwestern. That's my bad. He was a college quarterback.
Oh, I thought he was a novelist. I thought he wrote The Metamorphosis.
No, he wrote
Franz Kafka's brother.
Oh, yeah, okay, he wrote The Trial. He wrote The Trial, Mike Kafka.
Mike Kafka. We've got in his first season as defensive coordinator, we've got Don Martindale.
Wink!
And what's great about that is he spent the last 10 seasons as part of Baltimore's defense, so hell yeah.
No, we did this last year. This is his second year in New York because I did a whole thing on his blitz packages last year. This is year 2 for Wink in New York.
This is year 2?
Yeah.
And then at special teams, we got Thomas McGahee. Nothing to write home about him.
And let's be real, before we get too far into Kafka-esque dissection of this team, he's just running Brian Daboll's offense, right? I mean, like, this dude's going to be like, I think we should do this, and Brian Daboll's going to be like, kiss the fucking ring, dork.
Yeah. The 5 rings.
Right?
But he will bring, you know, an element, because to work with Andy Reid's offense got to be awesome. He's got all that experience. He's going to bring that. Maybe one day Daboll will be like, all right, nothing I'm coming up with is working. Let's try your trick play or whatever.
don't lose us the game.
right.
So, yeah, let's look at the fragility of their roster. It's not good. I mean, if Daniel Jones goes down, it's Tyrod Taylor, Tommy DeVito, a rookie from a Big Ten school, Illinois. Like, you don't know how to play quarterback.
And then we saw with Herbert, though, Tyrod is the beacon of success for rookies.
Yeah,
maybe. So we got to hope this year that Daniel Jones stays super healthy, anything he can do. We need more screenshots of him looking wide-eyed at the camera.
terrified, just terrified.
same with their running backs, man. Saquon Barkley, if he goes down, we got Matt Breida, Eric Gray, and Gary Brightwell. For crying out loud, that's shambles. Yep. Like, that's bad. So we got to hope Saquon stays healthy, too. I mean, I guess it's not as bad if Daniel Jones goes down, But we've seen Brightwell. He had that one game where he came in when Barkley was down. And he had like over 100 yards, but then was shit after that, right?
Yeah. Well, Eric Gray is, I think, a decent handcuff to look at, depending on how the preseason plays out and what the roster looks like. But I mean, Crisco was about this last year, right? Like Saquon's injury was like he got horse collared against Chicago, and he missed a whole year. And then the other like sprain of his foot that he got, he stepped on someone's leg. So it's like, what does it mean to be injury prone? You know what I mean? Because that's freak shit. That could happen to anybody.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's not non-contact injury.
Right.
So we'll take note of that, Tony. Eric Gray, someone to look at if Saquon goes down.
We've been on that bad boy.
And it's the same. It's the same with their wide receivers. I mean, your best wide receiver is Hodgins. It's got to be Hodgins. And Tony called that last year, like halfway through the season, just like start playing him in DFS. So I did. And he was in a lot of my lineups. So won a decent amount of money.
Yes, sir.
We still got Darius Slayton. We got Paris Campbell now. Jalen Hyatt, I believe, was that rookie that they drafted. There's some potential there, too. Let's see what he can do. We got Wandale Robinson. We got Sterling Shepard still. Sterling Shepard's a good Wandale's good, too. They also added Jamison Crowder, who's just going to be there if someone gets injured. But he's getting old. And then you've got no names, Jeff Smith, Colin Johnson, and a handful more who probably be cut before the season starts.
I'd imagine. Yeah. Hodgins weirds me out though. Hear me out though. Like, I don't know if you guys have noticed this, but in all my like best ball, when we did the fantasy draft, Hodgins is not being valued at all. So I keep wondering if I'm missing something.
I don't think you are. Like I just think because he's on the Giants, people don't gravitate to thinking that he's potentially a good talent, you know.
Well, the problem too is they brought in Waller and they have Bellin. I mean, we'll get to tight ends. I know Ryan will have like a 90-minute session on this. but they also drafted Hyatt too. They play different roles, but I think people are just so scared of the Giants.
Sure. Because I'm looking at 4 for 4. Isaiah Hodgins is wide receiver 55. That feels low.
I feel like he should be in like the high 30s or.
But isn't that like 40s. Right where Pickett or Pickens was?
Pickens is 51. Hodgins is 55. The guys between them are KJ Osborne, Michael Gallup, and Elijah Moore.
Yeah, I want two of those dudes out of that setup.
Yeah.
Okay.
And then, like Shane said, the saving grace of this team is their tight ends. It's where their talent is. Do you all see those pictures of Bellinger earlier this week?
He has rocked.
What's the over under of him getting suspended this year?
Oh yeah, dude.
I hope it wasn't Photoshop because. I feel like that guy's like, holy shit, my team just drafted traded Darren Waller. What am I going to do? All right, I'm just going to hit the gym and get serious about this. I hope, like I was telling Tony at breakfast last Sunday, I hope that this guy emerges as the number one tight end in New York. I mean,
put this needle in my ass. I got to go fucking big time.
Well, and the funny
thing. Lyle Delzado.
The best part about this whole conversation that Ryan and I had at breakfast last Sunday was that Katie was there, just sitting there. Like, listen, Katie, this is the tight end 2 in New York, all right? This is a very serious conversation.
You know, I don't ever hope that any one person gets injured ever, but I mean, if Darren Waller goes down, I mean, it's Bellinger's team. Because we've got Lawrence Gager and Chris Myarick, who had his chance last year, actually, when Bellinger was injured, to be the team's number one tight end. And just really didn't translate it into nothing. He's just a blocker. But I'm really interested to see if Daniel Jones can develop chemistry with Waller, because he's got that year already with Bellinger. I'm super interested to see how that's going to play out on the field and how that's going to play out with some of the coaches' play calling and stuff like that.
Ryan is just manifesting all his crystals to Daniel Bellinger this offseason.
Well, I wanted to point something out. Darren Waller has played 7 seasons. He's only played a full season twice.
Right.
So if I go by his career, if we start in 2015, 3 games played. Next year, 8 games played. Then 3. 2 years, 16 games. 2 years in a row, 16 games played. 2021, he played in 11 games. In 2022, he played 9. So it's not a lock that he's going to play the whole season.
Right. Let's look at their draft really quick.
Hell yeah. My favorite part.
They went with their first pick, number 11 overall, Deontay Banks, cornerback from Maryland. They actually are trying to help out Daniel Jones with their second pick. At 57, they chose John Michael Schmitz, a center from Minnesota.
God, he's so fucking awesome.
He's the number one ranked center in the draft class, right?
He was.
I believe so, yeah.
Yep.
And at 57, that's like crazy good value.
So pissed the Bears passed on him.
At 73, as I mentioned before, they drafted Jalin Hyatt, a wide receiver from Tennessee.
Shane's guy.
He ran a 4.440 in the combine. I like that.
He's, and Shane will tell you from this tape study, he's faster in terms of play speed.
Oh yeah. He's like Cooper Kupp, where like his miles per hour is going to be like 23 compared to like his, cause running a 40 is just a track skill. Like you can train for that.
Right.
He did talk shit to the Dallas wide receivers coach. Cause they're like, yeah, you can just run one route. And he's like, all right, watch me. So we're going to watch the Giants do it twice a year to the Cowboys.
Can't wait.
Another promising aspect about this rookie is he had 28, 20 plus yard catches last year.
Yeah. Hendon Hooker just had to throw it in proximity of him and he was gone.
He didn't, he only does one thing. He runs fast. And like, I don't think he's a bad route runner. Because I don't know if he's a good route runner, because they only asked him like, hey, line up over here, run really far.
You're broken here. You don't got to do more than that.
Right.
His 8 touchdowns averaged 50.6 yards per reception.
Yeah.
Go read our guide. Jalin Hyatt rules.
go or just watch. Just give us $10 and then watch the tape against Alabama. That's all you need.
Yep. At pick number 5, 172 overall, they went Eric Gray, the running back from Oklahoma.
Yep.
Let's watch for him to make an emergence. It's obviously not going to be Matt Breida if Saquon goes down.
No.
Pick 6, 209, they went with another cornerback, Trey Hawkins. Pick 7, 243, they went with a defensive tackle, Jordan Riley from Oregon. And at picks, they had a second pick 7, Javarius Owens, another safety from Houston. So they did some work on their defense because they needed to.
Yeah.
Their defense has a lot of holes. Let's see.
Well, they're not built to win shootouts. No, that offense is not.
It's a grinding team.
Right. You if you can keep them under 24, I figure you're in a good spot.
Right. Yeah, they have a lot of holes in their defense. Defensive line, everything.
Thibodeau looked good. He looked good.
Yeah, we'll see.
He needs other guys.
We'll see what Martindale can draw up this year, but they need some more talent for sure.
Who was it that Kayvon Thibodeau sacked and he hurt? And he was like celebrating because he didn't know that he hurt the dude. Do you remember that last year? It was like a whole thing.
Yeah, that was people getting weird.
Yeah. He doesn't fucking see that. He doesn't have, you know, red zone showing him what's happening directly behind his head. I think it was like Nick Foles or something like
that. Yes, that's correct. It's Nick Foles.
Yes, still got it, baby.
All right, so let's see if this over-under at like 8 wins is possible here. First week, they got to play Dallas. Second week, playing Arizona. They're not going to lose. I think they're going to lose to Dallas. So we'll call Arizona a win. Then they got Frisco. I think that's a loss.
Yep.
Then Seattle. It's a loss. I don't know. That's a toss-up, I think.
Okay.
You think it counted as a loss?
I don't think they have a chance. Seattle's got too many weapons.
Yeah, then they got Miami. That's a loss. Buffalo is a loss. Washington. Yeah. I like you could probably count both of the times they play Washington as wins. Then we got the Jets. That'll be close. But
I kind of like the Giants. I kind of want to give the Giants a win right there.
Then we can see Kayvon Thibodeau celebrate when Aaron Rodgers is also unconscious.
Then they got Vegas. Probably a win.
I think that's a win. That's 4.
And they got Dallas again. That's a loss. Loss. Then Washington again. That's a win.
5.
So you're at 5. They got the Patriots.
I want to give that a win to me. Yeah. Shane, I'll take Patriots. What do you think? Patriots,
yeah, I think they're just not. The Patriots only put up, 17 points a game? Where I think Saquon can run roughshod on that for sure.
Okay, so we've got 6 wins.
It'll be like 21-17 or some shit like that. It'll be close.
Yeah. They got a late bye. It's like week 12. Then they got Green Bay. I'm counting that as a win.
7.
Then they got New Orleans. That'll probably be a shootout. I don't know. I'm going to go Giants. I'm going to go with a win on that one just because what if by that part of time of the season, New Orleans is just a sham of what they thought they were, you know, going to be.
Can we all acknowledge that there's a chance that New Orleans is a top 5 pick in next year's draft? Much as they win the division?
Yeah, it's a glass cannon. They're either going to die or they're going to fly.
Yep.
And then the shitty part for New York this year is they got to play Philly twice in weeks 15 and 17. Oh, or sorry, 16 and 18.
Ugh.
With the Rams in between there. So
okay, so I have 8. You have 9 because you gave them one that I didn't.
I like the over if it's at like 8.5.
That last Philly game though, they could sneak out that win because Philly could be resting starters for the playoffs.
That's true. If it has no playoff implications. You're probably right. Yeah.
Vegas on the dot as usual.
But yeah, the Giants have a lot of stuff to get together here, but I like the prospect of all the hiring that they did and their draft, and I really hate their roster because it's so fragile, like I said.
Well, it also kind of this will bleed into what I talk about with like rushing quarterback or mobile quarterback, sorry, and comparing the viability of fantasy options with mobile quarterbacks. Where the short of this before I go into this long tirade about it is with mobile quarterbacks, you just have to pick one position on that team to be like, okay, this is where I'm placing my bets of where I believe they can return me value or potentially have a top 10 finish. So with New York, with a hollow roster where it's like tight end, we're not anticipating Waller being healthy for the whole year. Their wide receiving room is so kind of mid or mediocre at best. You're kind of just hoping for Saquon. And at least in my perspective on this team.
Yeah. And I liked how Dable last year recognized, hey, we should utilize Daniel Jones more on the run.
Yeah, he doubled his stats.
He finished in the top 5, right? For rushing quarterbacks.
Yeah, and rushing, He was great. But like
120 attempts, 53 designed plays.
They ran that shotgun, like the empty set where it's just like a power run, like the Bills used to do with Josh Allen and still do. But like they started doing that with Daniel Jones. And I'm like, man, that's perfect because you know, we talked about this, Shane and I talked about this before you hopped on, Ryan, like if you don't have the quarterback handing off, you have equal numbers to the defense in terms of guys blocking versus guys trying to stop the run. And that adds such a numbers advantage to what you're doing, you know? So I want to ask you, Ryan, Daniel Jones is QB9 on 4-for-4. Daniel Jones or Geno Smith?
Oh, definitely Daniel Jones.
Shane?
Danny DeNeros, baby. Give me that Russian quarterback.
All right, fine. Since you guys are both so confident, let me throw this in your face. Daniel Jones or Trevor Lawrence?
It's Trevor Lawrence. T-Law.
Well, fine. I guess okay, fine. Fine. One more. Daniel Jones or Kirk Cousins?
Oh, no.
This is a fucking spoiler. You already know the answer to this because you did all your Vikings research.
Daniel Jones. I'm going Jones.
I think it's Kirk, just based on pure passing attack volume. Okay. So I'm looking at the air yards for New York. They only had 2,700 air yards last year. And I'm 33 teams messing me up, but he only threw for 3,200 yards last year, where, you know, Kirk might crack 4,500 with a higher touchdown percentage.
Yeah. I think they get you to similar points.
Oh, 100%.
All right, Ryan, any final thoughts on the Giants?
No, but
that's fair.
but before we go, then let me ask you. Then Saquon is running back 8 on 4-for-4. Saquon or Tony Pollard, gentlemen?
I gotta go with Saquon.
Same here. That's not even me being a Tony Pollard hater. It's just I think the volume's going to be there for Saquon.
Saquon or Nick Chubb?
That's
got you, fuckers. One.
As much as I've never drafted Nick Chubb, I think, like, even though I was down on the offense switching over, he has no competition in that back room, and I think he's set Green for a good year.
Okay.
It'll be close. They'll probably finish within one slot of each other.
Okay.
Yeah, I'll go All right. Saquon.
All right, and with that, the Giants are done. Mark them off the list.
Tony, you didn't foreshadow my guy, Jonathan Taylor or Saquon Barkley.
Ooh, I'm taking Saquon.
Brian?
No, Jonathan Taylor burned me last year. I had first pick in a redraft league for work. And of course, like I had to take Jonathan Taylor.
I'm going Saquon as well, because all my research on the impact of rushing quarterbacks and rookie quarterbacks. So I was kind of at an impasse on how I wanted to like melt my brain this week with a lot of different decisions, because there was a lot of garbage teams I still left to cover and a lot of good teams. But I was listening to JJ Zacharyson's late round podcast, a very good podcast. I'm sure if you're listening to this, you probably at least absorb some of his content. It's very short and concise, and it goes over things very data centric and very articulate. The last two episodes, he talked about mobile quarterbacks and rookie quarterbacks. So I decided to do the weird thing that I always do of doing the hardest thing possible in the beginning. And that is merging those two things into one. So I'm going to cover a rookie mobile quarterback and how his implications of the fantasy, his fantasy implications for the Indianapolis Colts. So I'm going to work backwards a little bit by breaking down why I decided to lean into the mobile quarterback, by breaking down instead of breaking down coaching staff draft capital right now, but I'll make it all make canonical sense going forward. And I'm going to try to boil down JJ Zacharyson's data research here as best as I can. It does get a little muddy in the data, but I'm going to try to make it as streamlined as possible for basic understanding of what we're doing here.
I have a question before you really dive in here.
Yeah.
Are you working under the assumption that Anthony Richardson starts week one?
Correct.
Okay.
I don't see why they wouldn't start him. I mean,
sure.
To give foreshadowing, if you've read the rookie guide, you're correct in the assumption that we should assume that Anthony Richardson's first year looks like Jalen Hurts' first year. It's not going to be good, but there's going to be glimmers of hope. That's my expectation. Okay. So it's going to get ugly. I don't think their win total, whatever Vegas has them at, I think it's going to be under. unless it's like 4.
Okay.
All right. So for posterity, I'm going to break down these data sets that JJ Zacharyson used for terminology in regards to rushing, non-rushing, and mobile quarterbacks. So a non-rushing quarterbacks has 39 or less attempts per year with a minimum of 10 games played. Rushing quarterbacks is 40 to 87. Mobile is 80 or greater. So within this data set breakdown, wide receiver is the position that is most heavily impacted by rushing QBs with the biggest disparity in comparison to non-rushing quarterbacks. So this is pretty obvious, as the more rushes that take place with the quarterback means there's less passing volume in the total season. This teams can only run so many plays per games, which leads to less targets and which leads to less fantasy points. Mobile quarterbacks based on team rankings finished around 24th in pass attempts per season and finished on average of 18.6 in point rankings for wide receiver finishes, compared to 14th on non-mobile quarterbacks. So obviously you got a statuesque quarterback who's going to throw the ball a lot.
Yep.
So even though the numbers aren't great, the increase of these types of like the quarterback types of like Kyler, Josh Allen, and Jalen Hurts, teams are able to maintain high passing volume with optimum efficiency, where these guys are actually like the true unicorns. So the data set does kind of skew a little bit. So within the last 2 years of the sample, 40% of mobile quarterbacks had a wide receiver finish in the top 10. As you get that sample, and as you get out of that sample size, it kind of gets worse because you have the likes of Mariota. And these are kind of based on the other unicorn players of Stephon Diggs, AJ Brown, Devonta Smith, and DeAndre Hopkins. So it's very boom bust, and either if they finished top 10 or they finished ranked 27th in all offenses.
Sure.
And so now we're gonna move on to tight end. So tight end was the least impacted within mobile quarterbacks within this data range spread. So instead of seeing like a huge divide of like rank 14 to rank 22, it's more tighter. So it'd be like 14 to 18.
Okay.
And this is mainly thought to be because that mobile quarterbacks don't really require a blocking tight end, because they don't need as much time in the pocket before they make the decision to run the ball. And they can be lined up out in the slot or as a receiving option, like a Dallas Goedert type.
Yep. The slot receiver in Philadelphia.
Correct. Yes. So running back has the most significant disparity between positions compared to earlier, where running back disparity came between mobile and non-mobile quarterbacks. Even though you would think a quarterback that utilizes their legs as a weapon would open up rushing lanes and opportunities for the running back. So within the sample of 10 years, only 6 out of 44 teams had a top 10 ranked running back and target share in their team. 3 of those seasons include Cam Newton and CMC twice, and Danny DeNeros with Saquon last year on a ravaged Giants team. And as we all know, mobile quarterbacks don't check the ball. There isn't really a need for a security blanket, and because they can just take the ball and rack up yardage.
Right.
Utilize what they know as their weapon. So there's a 13% chance that a running back has a top 10 finish with a mobile quarterback. On average, these running backs finished ranked 21st in fantasy points scored in comparison to other teams. So it's not great. In the last 10 years, there's a 2% chance that any position or group of mobile quarterbacks finish top 10% of the position. So basically, in summation, for mobile quarterbacks, unless they're true unicorns like Josh Allen, Jalen Hurts, or Kyler Murray, you want the QB and no one else on that offense, or be very good at projecting the single position that will thrive, and you basically fade the rest, as the data is just telling you that only one position is going to be king.
That makes perfect sense.
Yeah. It's as much as convoluted as that podcast was, it was very streamlined of like, hey, this quarterback does two things. They run and they throw the ball, right? So unless they can't throw the ball like Mariota, then you have to lean more into the running back. So it's going to just be a basic projection of where you think that offensive scheme is going to operate to kind of exploit that thing. So like for me, like with the Daniel Jones analogy earlier, if Daniel Jones is going to run the ball 100 times next year, but the passing attack probably won't be as good because he's not as good of a quarterback compared to Josh Allen or Jalen Hurts, where you're going to kind of lean more into the Saquon Barkley types.
Sure. So you're saying that in the dynasty draft that we all did together, Team TH Fantasy, you're really glad in hindsight that Michael Pittman got taken the pick before us.
Correct. Because I'm going to give spoilers here of my breakdown of, you're going to forget it because I'm going to ramble for the next 20 minutes of other shit, but I don't want any fantasy players from Indy this year outside of Richardson, with the caveat. So we're going to make the wrinkle a little bit harder right now to project, which is rookie quarterbacks. So statistically, rookie quarterbacks rank 19th in pass attempts, and the average team wide receiver finishes 22nd in fantasy points in PPR formats. But the target share is about average with 16 across the league. Tight end finishes around 20. So there's a nice even keel spread of target share between rookie quarterbacks and non-rookie quarterbacks on the wide receiver position.
Okay.
So the too long didn't read of this section for rookie quarterbacks is that rookie quarterbacks are worse than mobile quarterbacks. So running back on average finish at 19.2 with a higher target share of 16 ranking. So this can be seen as teams have a pass catching running back and rookie quarterbacks have the running back as a safety valve and scheme for their rookies, as running quarterbacks are kind of also like a minority in regards to how the game is set up. Most quarterbacks are either considered to be non-rushing quarterbacks or rushing quarterbacks. They have a smaller percentage, like kind of like a Herbert or a Joe Burrow type, where they only rush 40 times a year. So this is kind of where the data gets ugly. So wide receivers finish on average is rank 35 in fantasy finish, which is a wide receiver tier 3 in fantasy production, where wide receivers for non-rookie quarterbacks finish around rank 20th on points. And tight ends take an average of finish a hit of 23.
Okay. So let me see if I'm following you so far. So you're saying that running backs, receivers, and tight ends for mobile quarterbacks all get a downgrade unless you're playing with a unicorn, those rare. And then you're also saying that these players suffer a similar hit regardless of if the quarterback can run or not, if that quarterback is a rookie.
Correct. Which makes sense, right? Because they're newer to the scheme, they're newer to the speed of the game of the offense, right?
Sure. So these skill position players are double fucked when you have a rookie running quarterback.
Correct. Yes. This research made me really scared shitless for the players of Indianapolis, even though I do love Anthony Richardson. So there's an 8% chance that a wide receiver will have a top 12 finish with a rookie quarterback and 24% for top 24 and a 5% chance for a top 6 in tight end and a 16 for top 12. So the numbers are not good for projecting, which makes sense. You know what I mean? You can't really expect a player to go out there and be like a Justin Herbert type in the rookie season and put up 4,000 yards and 38 touchdowns, right? It's so not common. But there is a glimmer of hope within this data set, as there are true unicorns, like I mentioned, that can produce top 12 finishes in wide receiver. Two of these have been Shane Steichen coach Justin Herbert and generational prospect Andrew Luck. So running backs have an average fantasy finish of 21st in points scored, while non-rookie quarterbacks finish at around running back 18. There's a 35% chance that a running back to finish top 12 with a rookie quarterback and a 62% for top 24. So the probability of higher, but not the ceiling, is within running backs.
Okay.
So you might be asking, one more caveat to this. So the real short in this is that out of the top 100 drafted players, they don't exceed ADP within 3 points scored per game within season, all skill positions for rookie running backs. So if you're a floor guy, fade off every offensive weapon in the first few rounds with the rookie quarterback.
Okay.
So now you may be asking, are you done and how is this relevant? So to answer that first question, I'm done with all the data shit. That was like the boring part, right? But it's very much of a building block to understanding why this offense is schemed the way that it's
makes sense. Schemed. Makes sense to me.
And it's relevant because pick number 4 overall in the 23 class was Anthony Richardson is the key to this entire season for the Colts players. So in the last 3 years, we've seen the curse of Andrew Luck permeate with washed QBs, Philip Rivers, Carson Wentz, and Matt Ryan all being brought into this team. And I'm assuming we can all kind of agree that quarterback is a key to success of fantasy teams as well as teams in the NFL. They don't have to be world breakers. They kind of just have to do enough to not choke the game like Matt Ryan did and Sam Ellinger did to get the number 4 overall pick. There were so many things that did go wrong on the Colts last year. The offensive line crumbling in the first half of the season, Jonathan Taylor being hit by the injury bug repeatedly, Matt Ryan being dust, Jeff Saturday being coach.
Oh, I forgot that happened.
Yeah, Jim Irsay said, I'm going to take this bump and watch this.
Right?
So now the fire's been put out, but there's a glimmer of hope from the Phoenix rising from the ashes, or maybe like an egg, right? Like you said earlier, Tony, there's or mentioned, and I brought up again, this really isn't the year for Indy. Maybe next year as they kind of put it together.
Right.
And I initially was hesitant on the Colts until they brought in Shane Steichen, but the dominoes did start to fall where I kind of believe that this team is in a rebirth phase. I mean, they might be in the gestation period. So I'm going to go break down Shane Steichen's success rates with rookie quarterbacks. So when Steichen was in LA, they drafted Herbert as rookie year. Herbert won offensive rookie of the year. He finished the season as QB9 in fantasy. He threw for 4,336 yards with a 7.3 yards per attempt and a 66% completion percentage. He had 55 rush attempts with a 4.3 yards per carry and 18 designed runs on 25 scrambles. And I don't really think Herbert is like the best example for what Shane Steichen can do, because Herbert has proved that he can do this repeatedly with different offensive coaches and different schemes. But it can be alluded to that Shane Steichen did help him reach that floor of which he can elevate his game to.
Okay.
Where to me, the real juice is within Jalen Hurts. So I'm sure we can all remember how mercilessly shit on Jalen Hurts was in his first and second year in the league prior to his breakout. So yep. Hurts was really only seen as a rushing flash in the pan quarterback. And to quote our resident homie, he can't throw a football.
Yeah. That was Waleed's thing. Waleed was like, Jalen Hurts is garbage because I've watched him play football. I've watched him play basketball. It's terrible.
So in 2020, he had a 52% completion rate, a 61% in 2021, and they're stinky, really stinky. So the question is like chicken or the egg, where did the ascension from talent come from? Was it from A.J. Brown, the coaching of Shane Steichen? And I think it's kind of a double egg omelet because you can't really have one without the other. So in 2022, Hurts improved his completion percentage to 66% with 600 more air yards and a 0.8% increase on yards per attempt. So basically, we're just like, hey, this dude can throw the ball. While being incredibly efficient with a touchdown interception ratio, and he increased his PFF grade from 56 to 88 in 2 years.
Wow.
So there is not really like a comparison between Herbert, Hurts, and Richardson, as they're not really like a binary one-to-one ratio, but I do see that there is a combination of these people within the same player, right? Like Anthony Richardson is like a freak athlete. And Herbert has a rocket of an arm. It just takes time to develop these things.
Yeah.
And like I said earlier, the best expectation is year one of Jalen Hurts for Anthony Richardson. So I'm going to break down the Eagles offense here just to give context. This is kind of like the long-winded form of me going into Philly next year or next week too, because Philly was kind of the building block of understanding this team.
Right.
So under Steichen, the Eagles utilized the legs of Hurts as a primary weapon to build the foundation of the offense. Over 44% of the snaps for the Eagles were rushing snaps, with 123 designed runs for Hurts himself. 56 were passing attempts with 542 and 76.3 spent in the pocket. So the RPO is basically abused in 2022 because they allowed Hurts to read the defense and play the field accordingly, as defenders would have to come down and account for Hurts, which would in turn open up the passing field. So they basically forced the teams to start to play man to cover Hurts, to account for him to rush. And then they basically said, okay, can you beat Devonta Smith and A.J. Brown deep? Which you can't. It just doesn't work. So that's why that offense was so successful. They utilized the zone run scheme, which we mentioned the last episode or two weeks ago in the Brett Coleman video. It's a great video. I read a really good article by Casey Sully, which breaks down Philly's offense to basically say they would run the same formation, the same play structure until a team gave them a negative yard, and they would switch it up because they're just like, make us show that we can't do this against you. And then they just kept abusing that form.
Right.
So I do anticipate there's something similar within Indy, even though the offensive weapons they're kind of like the Wish version of Philly to me. Michael Pittman is no AJ Brown and Alec Pierce is no Devonta Smith, but I do believe Richardson will slowly acclimate to the speed of the NFL and build a passing rapport with his players. While they still will run on the run game with their strongest offensive weapon of Jonathan Taylor. All right. Now I'm going to finally break down like the team. So now into the draft, we can start piecing this big-ass puzzle piece together. So out of the 12 picks that they had in the draft, they drafted 4 offensive pieces. Anthony Richardson at 4, Josh Downs at 79, Will Mallory at 162, and Evan Hull at 167. They drafted 2 offensive linemen to bolster their depleted depth, and although the O-line did have a rocky start, they did finish the season graded as 10th overall in the NFL by PFF. So adding to this depth, it obviously is projecting that the run game is going to be stronger. So obviously outright the winners of this off, obviously the outright winners of this are the weapons of the Colts outside of Jelani Woods, in my opinion. Josh Down doesn't compete with any type of the receivers for Michael Pittman or Alec Pierce. Hull is clearly a rotational Pierce, as Deion Jackson isn't it, even though they did bring in Zach Moss and Jake Funk. But I'm not really worried about Jonathan Taylor's shares in that team.
Sure.
In regards to competition, I'm more scared of him with Anthony Richardson there. So I'm sorry to say, but like I'm kind of out on the Colts. So on the I will start strong, but I'll go into it more of my cynicism. So outside of injury happening again to Jonathan Taylor, he's not going to have a worse year than last year. Just it's just not going to be possible because he'll play all of his games. But I am worried about his ADP right now, because I thought initially that seeing him at 109 in mocks in June was really ridiculous. But as I dug more into the stats, him being RB4 seems kind of insane in regards to what I gave you guys earlier within data sets.
There's no way.
Running backs with rookie quarterbacks, mobile quarterbacks. So he's slotted around, according to PFF, Kelsey, Tyreek, Diggs, and Pollard. So even in the RPO system, I don't foresee Taylor having 332 attempts with 1,800 yards and 40 receptions like he did in 2021. I can maybe see him with 250 carries and maybe 20 targets if we're really lucky. But luckily, Taylor's saving grace is he's incredibly efficient, as they did increase their O-line depth. So over through the last 3 years, Taylor's averaged 2.8 yards after contact, 7% missed tackle rate, 7% broken tackle rate. And this is like really to me the only saving grace for him being able to return his ADP value, as like I said, he'll probably average 20 targets, 250 attempts. But he's gonna have a lot of his touchdown share vultured from Anthony Richardson as well, is my biggest fear too. We're way past the point of seeing Jonathan Taylor as the 102, or unfortunately in Ryan's circumstance, the 101. Even at 110, I'm kind of scared of that.
I'm in a best ball draft right now on Underdog, and Taylor was there at 111, and I took Barkley, and I know that in my heart was the right call. And then on the turnaround, Taylor didn't go. Taylor was there at 202, and I took Jalen Hurts.
I think that's the move, man. I think I'll cover Philly next year, but I think Hurts has the ability to finish QB1. So I don't hate taking Taylor at 110 just based on league sittings, but I don't think he'll finish at RB4. I don't think him finishing out of top 11 or 12 is out of the realm of possibility, but I think there are better picks like AJ Brown, Chubb, even Amon-Ra, Diggs, Jacobs. As drafting RB12 on the year at pick 10 kind of spells disaster for your team.
Yes.
All right, guys. So pick one out of these three in PPR: Nick Chubb, Jonathan Taylor, Josh Jacobs.
Ooh. So Nick Chubb, Josh Jacobs, or Jonathan Taylor?
Yes.
Nick Chubb.
I might be inclined to go Josh Jacobs.
I want Nick Chubb as the RB1 on the team that I believe will score the highest amount of points between those three.
That's fair.
Okay.
It also depends who's quarterback in the Raiders, right? Is Jimmy G finally done? If it's Aiden O'Connell, it's just going to be Josh Jacobs here, right?
Right. So
we'll have to see. I think it's a very interesting question. I'm with you guys of either one of those two. And this is kind of where I'm expediting the process of really only talking about the people that I feel is viable to bring up, and that's Michael Pittman. Unless you're an incredibly deep league with three wide receivers starting. So Pittman is the de facto alpha on this team with 142 targets and 99 receptions last year for 924 yards and 4 touchdowns, which was less efficient than 21, where he had 1,082 and 6 touchdowns, which I do blame on Matt Ryan getting murdered every play with his noodle arm. So Pittman wasn't really able to be exploited to his best ability, which is kind of the intermediate and contested catch guy.
You said that he had over 140 targets and only 90 catches?
142 targets and 99 receptions in 2022.
That should tell you exactly what the problem was.
Yep.
You know what I mean? 45 incomplete. That's fucking terrible.
Yeah. So Pittman had over 1/4 of his target share for the team and 30% of the total air yards for the team. However, his A-dot did decrease as he was running a hybrid slot and out wide. So I don't think that's going to be the case this year, as Josh Downs is going to be the king of the slot, as we saw in his tape and as we recommend in our rookie draft. So we'll probably see Pittman running out wide with a projected higher A-dot because Anthony Richardson has shown he can throw for further than 7 yards like Matt Ryan. It's just going to be down to accuracy and how that kind of works out of Richardson's ability to hit him deep. So right now, Pittman is ranked wide receiver 33 at pick 71 around 509. So I feel this ADP is warranted based upon the data analysis of rookie mobile quarterbacks. While wide receiver 33 does feel incredibly low, based upon the players he's surrounded by, I'm really strongly convinced that Pittman will finish below Jerry Jeudy, Hollywood Brown, Brandon Ayuk, and Pickens in these wide receiver tiers.
Even though
you're 44, or your Pickens said wide receiver 50 something. So I think we're pulling from different ranking systems.
I was just looking at wide broken down by position, wide receiver. And so you're telling me you're putting Michael Pittman in the George Pickens tier?
Yes.
Wow.
Wow.
So I think this is the year where Pittman's price actually comes back down to reality in regards to what his production is. Because I do like Pittman, but he's always been too expensive for me in drafts because even though he's the alpha in his offense, he never has wide receiver one finishes. It's always wide receiver two or kind of on the cusp.
Too much to take chance. Yeah.
Yeah. And I think realistically his target share, he probably has 110 targets with 80 receptions for 800. I mean, he might have some more touchdowns, but I think he is due to regress in regards to passing volume, like I said earlier with mobile quarterbacks.
He was one of my reputation players last year.
He was good last year, but the Colts fucking fell apart.
Here's the thing about having a reputation player. If at any point they have to catch passes from Sam Ehlinger, you're off the hook.
Yeah.
Period. Doesn't count.
Yeah. So pick one, Mike Evans or Michael Pittman in PPR. How does it feel, Tony? How does it feel?
That's bad. Mike Evans. I hate to say it.
Ryan.
Yeah, I'll probably go Evans.
Because I love Michael Pittman.
Yeah, he's a dog. I love watching him play.
They're gonna feed him. I mean, at least try.
They have to. He's
they're gonna be down so many games that they're gonna have to pass the whole time.
All right, so here's a quick shot. Alec Pierce is ranked wide receiver 60 at pick 13.3. Jelani Woods is ranked 26 at picks 17.6. So these are waiver wire guys and treat them accordingly. I don't even really want to address them because I don't feel like they're worthwhile as in a conversational piece.
I will say before we move away, Alec Pierce is intriguing to me in best ball.
Oh yeah. He can have a boom week for sure.
He is the deep threat on that team. And we've seen AR's got a fucking cannon, man.
Yeah.
He had the best deep ball in the class.
Yep. 100%. Yeah. No, best ball for sure. I would definitely take a gamble on Alec Pearson best ball for sure. So here's the key piece of this offense and where my cynicism relies on this team for 2023, Anthony Richardson. So even though I am the fanboy and I said take him 101 in your Superflex rookie startups, or not startups, rookie drafts, PFF doesn't even have him in the top 25 of quarterbacks for this year, which I think is completely insane and egregious. And I don't recommend that you take him as your only quarterback unless you're in a really deep league and you fade all quarterbacks. Like if you're a 14 team league, a 2 quarterback league, something like that. And any startable guys got gobbled up, but I would take him as a second to Kirk, Tua, Geno, Rodgers, which is probably the best path to having Richardson on your team with success. While I do think it's going to be ugly, like really, really ugly, I do think that the bench spot is warranted post week 11, where we saw Justin Fields and Hurts have success as the offense clicks. Their offensive scheme gets them rolling. They're using their legs more as a weapon. They don't need to throw well. So the final four games are Pittsburgh, Atlanta, Las Vegas, which I think are all super juicy matchups for your playoff push. And
yeah,
playoffs themselves, where at this point, Anthony Richardson will be able to be offensively competent to push over the edge within this time frame. So I don't feel Richardson will finish top 15 by the end of the season. I will gladly take him in redraft over the like of Matt Stafford, Kenny Pickett, Jordan Love, Purdy, Kyler, Jimmy G, and Tannehill. My expectation for him this year is 2,800 yards in the air, 900 yards on the ground. I can't really project touchdowns. And even though he nuked my optimism for this team in 23, I'm excited to watch him play. And so the too long didn't read ramble is fade all quarterbacks at ADP outside of Anthony Richardson, or be prepared to be disappointed.
So 4 for 4, you guys want to guess where 4 for 4 has Anthony Richardson ranked on their redraft quarterback rankings right now?
Redraft
26,
23,
12.
Okay. What? There you go. That makes sense.
12, 13, Tua.
I mean, you're playing for ceiling, right? It's like Lance last year.
Sure. Sure. I think Lance was high teens, 19 or so at the beginning of the year.
I think I got him in like rank or like round 9 last year.
So they have, four for fours. Seventh is T-Law. 8 is Herbert. 9 is Daniel Jones. 10 is Geno Smith. 11 is Cousins. 12 is Richardson. 13 is Tua, 14 is Rodgers, 15 is Russ, 16 is Dak.
Wow.
Fun stuff. Fun. So that's not a ceiling projection, right? Because if you're projecting even knowing a rookie quarterback at his ceiling, that's quarterback 900 yards. That's like top 4 or 5 rushing seasons for a quarterback all time.
Oh, is it? Okay. Maybe I was pulling that number out of my ass. Maybe like 750 is more realistic. Is that better?
Like 750 is what Josh Allen put up last year, more or less.
I think so, that's fair. But yeah. I also think like Ryan was saying, they're going to be behind in a lot of games and his accuracy is going to be an issue where like they're going to have to, if he's only throwing for 2,800 yards, they got to make up that offense somewhere, right?
Yeah.
Shane, does Indy finish last in the AFC South this year?
Yeah, I think they do. I think Mike Vrabel's got one more year in him. Like, even though we've been down on that team, I think Mike Vrabel will be able to put 6 wins together in that team, where Indy probably gets like 5. I didn't look at win totals. I didn't project that kind of stuff. I just kind of looked at like playoff schedule, that kind of thing. So,
well, do you guys want to walk through these games real quick? Shane, do you have anything else, or do we just walk through?
I've taken enough of your time on the Colts, so we can move on to whatever you guys want to talk about.
All right. Schedule. Okay, cool. So week one, they're playing the Jaguars. They're at home week one. That's a loss.
That's a big ol' L.
Next week they're on the road against Houston.
Ooh, that's tough. I think I'm gonna go with Houston on that. I think Stroud's the real deal.
We're gonna get one highlight reel that's gonna break Twitter for Anthony Richardson breaking off a run, but that's it.
I mean, that game's got Richardson, it's got CJ Stroud in it, and it's got Will Anderson, like the star power. It's gonna have 3 of the first 4 players in the draft.
Yeah, true.
Okay, so we're at either at 0-2 or 1-1, depending on your bend. So next up, Colts go to Baltimore.
L.
Loss.
You think that'll be a loss? I respect it. All right, the next week they have the Rams at home.
That's a potential win, I think. I'm going to go with a win on that one.
Okay. So you're at 2. Shane, are you at 1 or 0?
I think we're at 1. Okay. That game will be fluky.
Okay. So no, next Bob, up.
That should just be 1 win. I took
Houston. The
loss. Yeah.
Okay, so you're both at 1 win. All right, next up, home against Tennessee. That's a loss, I'm assuming.
I think Vrabel will be able to scheme out Richardson in that game.
Okay. Yeah. Next up, they're on the road against Jacksonville.
L.
Yeah, big loss. Wow, they played Jacksonville pretty both games early, huh?
They get their toughest matchups out of the season really fast.
Next up, Cleveland visits.
That's going to be a close game, but I think I'm going to go Cleveland.
Okay. Yeah, I can see that.
Next up is another home game against New Orleans.
I think that's a game. W.
I think I'm going to go with a loss. I'm going to go with a loss.
Okay. So, Shane, you're at 2. Ryan, you're still at 1.
I think this is the cusp of when we're going to see what's going to happen with New Orleans. This is either where they're going to be like, okay, they're the real deal, or they're just going to be falling apart.
Right around Halloween?
Yeah, mid-October is when, like, okay, this is they're pretenders or contenders.
Speaking of first-round draft picks, next up they go to Carolina.
Wow.
That's got to be an L, right?
I think so. It'll be close.
It'll be 10-6. Then they go to New England.
I don't know.
I think that's a loss.
Belichick will scheme that whole game.
Yep.
That's a loss.
And then Tampa Bay at home.
Ooh. Potential win. I'm going win.
Okay. So are you guys both at 2 wins? Or Shane, are you at 3?
I think I'm at 3.
Okay.
I think I'm at 2.
Okay. Then they go to Tennessee.
Dude. Will they lose twice to Tennessee?
It's December, though, so the Yeti might be free.
Okay.
I think Derrick Henry, this is still early. I think maybe this is the game where Derrick Henry gets injured and Tennessee starts having problems in the middle of the season.
Oh, this is December, so we're getting near the end. Next up, they go to Cincinnati. That's a loss.
Big ol' win.
They play at home against the Steelers.
I think that's a loss.
It'll be close. I'm going W. I think.
Okay. They go to. Oh, go ahead.
TJ Watt's gonna have some weird psych out. Be scared.
Okay. Then they go to Atlanta.
W.
Ooh, against Atlanta, huh? What if Bijan Robinson's like leading the league in rushing yards at this point?
Sorry, Richardson will be number 2.
Ryan, are you giving him an L?
I want to go loss to Atlanta, yeah.
Okay. Two more. Home against the Raiders on New Year's Eve. W? Shane said W.
I think maybe it's a win, yeah.
Okay. And then last but not least, at home against Houston.
I think that series is going to split, so I'll go give them a win.
So we're seeing the Colts. So... are you at 4 or 5?
I think Ryan's at 5 and I'm at 6.
Yeah, I think I'm at 5.
Okay. So we're assuming another high draft pick for the Colts next year. Man, think about Brock Bowers on this offense.
Marvin Harrison, baby.
Oh, my God.
Oh,
I think Colts will end up with a top 10 pick. Yeah.
Okay. So that's it. Do we have anything to share before we go? Let's let people in. Who are you covering next week? Shane's Philadelphia.
Philly. Oh, my section will be shorter, I promise. I will break down the offense more, but I will not talk about running quarterbacks or rookie quarterbacks. That was the meat of this subject for me.
You got to set the table, man.
I don't know who I'm going to do yet. Damn it. You know what?
Oh,
Jacksonville.
Let's get a good team out of the way. Do you guys want me to do Kansas City or Cincinnati?
KC. KC, because I want to know what's going on with Joe Mixon. Like, I would like to know if he's going to be missing any time.
So you want me to do Cincinnati?
I'd like you to do Kansas City. So we should wait longer.
Give it one more week.
Yeah, give it one more week to see if there's like a decision on any of his stuff.
True. Okay.
So you guys are both going superstars, huh? Okay. I will go Seattle. We're going to have a good
superstar.
Yeah, it's going to be a good show. There's a lot to talk about for Seattle. I was tempted to do Arizona, but I'll save it. long story short, like Shane, like you said, you're glad that we didn't take Michael Pittman in our dynasty startup. Well, I'm here to tell you that I'm very happy that we took Hollywood Brown in our dynasty startup.
Yeah, because who else are they throwing the ball to? Trey McBride?
Literally, literally no one else. All right, so next week we'll see you. We'll have some more stuff. It's going to be all superstars next week. It's going to be a fun one. Any last thoughts before we go, guys?
Be well. Thank you for your time and attention.
Yeah. Share any Bellinger muscle pics.
We'll please get you. DM Ryan.
Yeah, please send it to the TH Fantasy Twitter account. All right, everyone. Good night. We'll see you next week.
Good night.
Good night. Bellinger muscle pics.